Today we have the privilege of studying Perek Lamed Zayin, the 37th Perek of Sefer Yeshayahu. Like the Perek we began yesterday, Perek Lamed Vav, it is narrative, and it is in fact the continuation of Perek Lamed Vav of chapter 36. If you have not yet studied chapter 36, it would be best to study chapter 36 before studying chapter 37, since the two chapters together form a continuum. As we mentioned yesterday in studying chapter 36, chapter 36 speaks about the siege of Jerusalem in the year 701 BCE and about Yeshayahu's understanding of the meaning of those events. When we left off yesterday, Sancheriv had delivered a second siege speech to the people of Yerushalayim demanding that they surrender. The siege speech contained the phrase in Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Yudchet, Hahitzilu Elohei Hagoyim Ish Et Artzo Miyad Melech Ashur. Did the gods of all the nations save their lands from the hands of the king of Assyria? With a clear implication that so too the God of Israel will be similarly unable to save his land from the hands of the king of Assyria. In other words, there's a hierarchy in the world in which the king of Assyria is at the top of the hierarchy, and the gods of all the lands are equal to the God of Israel, and both the gods of the lands and the God of Israel are similarly powerless faced with the king of Assyria. This constitutes a direct attack on the power of the God of Israel, and therefore Chizkiyahu's emissaries, namely Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu, who is in charge of the house, Shevna, the scribe, Yoach ben Asaf, the Mazkir, all of them tear their clothes. And the first pasuk of Perek Lamed Zayin, Chizkiyahu also tears his clothes as an act of mourning, reacting to this flagrant denigration of God by Sancheriv. Thus we begin Perek Lamed Zayin, pasuk Aleph. Vayhiki shmoa hamelech Chizkiyahu, vayikra et begadav, vayitkas basak, Vayavo Beit Hashem. When the king Chizkiyahu heard this, he tore his clothes, he wore sackcloth, and he entered the house of Hashem. So we have here this example of mourning, not in reaction to some imminent disaster specifically, but in reaction to a denigration of God's name. Vayishlach et Eliakim asher al habayit ve'et shavnei hasofer ve'et zikne hakohanim mitkasim basakim. El Yeshayahu ben Amoz Hanavi. He sent Eliakim, who was in charge of the household, the chief of the royal staff, together with Shevna the scribe, together with the elders of the Kohanim, all of them wearing sackcloth, to Yeshayahu ben Amoz the prophet. What is the message? Vayomru Elav, Pasuk Gimel. Vayomru Elav. Ko amar Chizkiyahu. Thus says Chizkiyahu. Yom tzara v'tochecha u'ne'atza hayom hazeh, ki vau vanim ad mashber v'choach ayin l'leida. Yom tzara v'tochecha u'ne'atza hayom hazeh. They deliver the following message. Today is a day of trouble, of rebuke, and of denigration. Well, it's clear that it's a day of trouble. It's a day of rebuke, in the sense that we rebuke ourselves for what has happened. It is a day of denigration, in the sense that Sancheriv is denigrating the God of Israel. And then Chizkiyahu concludes this pasuk with a rather enigmatic parable. Vau vanim ad mashber. Sons have come to, children have come forth to the breaking point, the point of being born. V'choach ayin l'leida, but there is no power to bring them forth and to birth them. This is a parable which speaks about a woman in labor who has worked very hard to push the children till the point where they are about to come out of the birth canal. And having worked so hard to get them there, the woman doesn't have the power to actually push them all the way out. And it's sort of the idea of this mashal is having worked very hard, they're unable to reach the finish line. This seems to be a nimshal, I should understand this as a parable about the situation of the Jews at the time of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu worked very hard to prepare for the rebellion against Assyria. As we've seen earlier, he prepared waterworks in Yerushalayim, he fortified the city of Yerushalayim, and he also garrisoned and provisioned many cities around the country. And he's saying in this pasuk, I've worked so very hard, but now at the moment when the Assyrians are demanding the surrender of Yerushalayim, at the moment when the battle is about to be joined, and all will either be lost or be won, everything appears to be lost. The Assyrians are more powerful. They are enticing the people of Yerushalayim, where he's very scared that Yerushalayim will fall. Pasuk Dalet. Ulai yishma Hashem Elokecha et divrei Rav Shakeh. Asher shlacho melech Ashur Adonav lecharef Elokim Chai. So he says as follows. Perhaps God, your God, will hear the words of Rav Shakeh, who is sent by the whom the king of Assyria sent to mock the living God. Sancheriv has been, Rav Shakeh has been sent by Sancheriv to mock the living God and to laugh at his power. V'hochiach badvarim asher shama Hashem Elokecha. He has rebuked us in the way that you, that in the way that Hashem, your God, has heard. Please, therefore, v'nasata tfila be'ad ha'sherit ha'nimtza'a. Please, you pray for those who remain. It's a fascinating request on the part of Chizkiyahu that the Navi pray for those who remain in the city. The Navi, interestingly, does not actually pray. The Navi returns with a different response. Perhaps he feels that Chizkiyahu's attitude is unduly pessimistic. Pasuk Hey, Vayavo of the Hamelech Chizkiyahu el Yishayahu. They reach Chizkiyahu, the servants of King Chizkiyahu reach Yishayahu. And what does Yishayahu say to them? Vayomer Alehem, Yishayahu. This is what Yishayahu, this is the message that Yishayahu delivers in Pasuk Vav 6. Kotom Rumen el Adonechem. Say as follows to your master. Ko Amar Hashem, thus says God, Al Tira Mipnei HaDivarei Masher Shamata. Asher gidefu na'arei melech Ashur oti. Don't worry about the don't be scared of the things that you have heard, that the young men of the king of Assyria have mocked me. Now the phrasing here is interesting. Yishayahu doesn't say that Sancheriv has mocked God. He doesn't say that Rav Shakeh has mocked God. He says gidefu na'arei melech Ashur oti. The young men of the king of Assyria. He is in a sense dismissing the importance of Rav Shakeh. Pasuk Zayin. Hineni noten bo ruach v'shama shmua v'shav el artzo v'yipaltiv b'cherev be'artzo. Behold, I am placing a spirit within him. He will hear a rumor. He will return to his land. And I will cause him to die by the sword in his land. Pasuk Zayin is the promise that Sancheriv will return to his land. And it is a dismissal of all the threats of Sancheriv. Yishayahu does not take Sancheriv's threat seriously, and in a sense perhaps he is faulting Chizkiyahu for taking the threat seriously, and for allowing the king of Assyria's mocking of God to be a significant factor in how the king reacts. Perhaps it would have been better for the king not to take any of Sancheriv's claims seriously, and to be dismissive of him, as the prophet has now done. In any case, the prophet does not actually pray. Despite the fact that Chizkiyahu requests him to pray, the prophet does not pray. All he does is says, Sancheriv will go back to his land, and he will die there. Pasuk Chet. Vayashov Rav Shakeh, Vayimtzat Melech Ashur, Nilcham al Livna, Ki Shama Ki Nasa Vilachish. Rav Shakeh returns from Yerushalayim back to the king of Assyria, and finds that the king of Assyria is now battling against the city of Livna, one of the Judean cities in the southern Shvela, very close to where Beit Guvrin is today. Ki shama ki nasa mi Lachish, because he had heard that he had traveled away from Lachish. In other words, he's completed the conquest of Lachish, and he's moving on to attempt the conquest of other cities. Vaishma, al tir haka melech kush lemor, yatsa li hilachem mitach. He heard regarding Tir Haka, the king of Kush. Kush is in what's today the Sudan. He heard regarding Kush, saying it was Tir Haka, the king of Kush, saying he has come out to battle against you. He heard. He sent messengers to Chizkiyahu saying, this is the last siege speech which Sancherib delivers. He issues a message to Chizkiyahu when Sancherib is already located at Livna, having already conquered Lachish, and now he is threatened by Tirhakah, the king of Cush, and he wants to indicate to Chizkiyahu this does not mean that the king of Assyria is removing himself from the land. And he says as follows, Pasuk Yud in Perak Lamed Zayin. Kotom run el Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda lemor. Say as follows to Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda. Al yashiacha elokecha asher ata boteach bo lemor. Lo tinaten Yerushalayim biyad melech Ashur. Let not your God, in whom you trust, deceive you by saying, Yashiacha miloshon hanachashishiani. Yashiacha means will deceive you. So do not let the Lord, do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, this city Yerushalayim will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Lo tinaten Yerushalayim biyad melech Ashur. Yerushalayim will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Hinei ata shamata asher asu malchei Ashur lechol haaretzot lacharimam, ve'ata tinatzel. Behold, you have seen what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, namely to destroy them, and you will be saved. Ha'itzilu otam elohei hagoyim asher hishchitu avotai, et gozan v'et charan v'et retzen uvnei eden asher bitlashar. Did the gods of the nations, which my ancestors destroyed, save them? He speaks specifically about Gozan, Haran, Retzef, and the descendants of Eden who are in the city of Tlashar. Ha'itzilu otam elohei hagoyim asher hishchitu avotai, et Gozan ve'et Haran ve'retzef uvnei Eden asher bitlashar. Aye melech Hamat, umelech Arpad, umelech la'ir Sfarvayim, heina ve'iva. Where is the king of the city of Hamat, the king of the kingdom of Arpad, the king of the city of Sfarvayim, or the king of La'ir and Sfarvayim, heina and Iwa? Where are the kings of all these various cities? And we note that Hamat and Arpad can be identified with certainty. Some of the other cities are a little bit harder to identify, but the idea here is that all of these kings have been destroyed, and the past is evidence for the future. Just as the kings of all these cities have been destroyed, so too will you, Chizkiyahu, be destroyed when faced with the king of Assyria. The clear idea that Sennacherib tries to convey here is that just like the gods of other nations didn't save them, so too will God himself not save them. So too will God of Israel not save Jerusalem from the hands of the king of Assyria. And we see here something very fascinating, that the topics that we found in the earlier siege speeches, ideas like incentives for surrender, ideas like questions of balance of power, all of these issues are absent in this siege speech, and the only issue that's engaged is the issue of the power of the king of Assyria versus the power of God, Elokei Israel. In reaction to this siege speech, Chizkiyahu takes action. And here, the one who prays is Chizkiyahu, not Yeshayahu. And in some ways, it may be significant that it is the king, the representative of the people, who prays, rather than the prophet, the representative of God. Pasuk Yudalad, Vayikach Chizkiyahu et Hasfarim Miyad Hamalachim, Vayikraehu. Vayal Beit Hashem, Vayifrasehu Chizkiyahu Lifnei Hashem. Chizkiyahu took the messages from the hands of the messengers. Sfarim here refers to messages rather than books. Malachim here refer to messengers rather than angels. So he takes the messages from the hands of the messengers. He reads it. Presumably this refers to the message. He reads the message. He goes up to the house of God. And Chizkiyahu stretches out his hands, stretches out the letter, before God. He allows God, kibyachol, to see the letter. Vaitpalel Chizkiyahu el Hashem lemor. Chizkiyahu pray to Hashem, saying, Pasuk Tetzayin. Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, Yoshev HaKruvim. Atahu ha'elokim levadecha lechol mamlechot ha'aretz. Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who dwells upon the cherubs. Cherubs are the two symbols of young children who are present in the Beit Mikdash. They are the two figures who are above the kaporet on the Aron HaBrit. So God, the God of Israel, who dwells above the Krufim, you are alone our God for all the kingdoms of the earth. Chizkiyahu here articulates monotheistic theology. You, God, are the only one, the only master of the world. Atasita tashamayim vata'aretz, you have made heaven and earth. Hateh Hashem oznecha ushama. God, listen with your ear and hear. Turn your ear and hear. Pekach Hashem enecha ure'eh. Open your eyes, O God, and see. What is Chizkiyahu asking God to see? Not the poor and decrepit status of the Jews in Jerusalem, not the idea that the Jews in Jerusalem need salvation, but rather he asks God, Pekach Hateh Hashem oznecha ushama, Pekach Hashem einecha ure'eh, ushama et kol divrei Sancheriv asher shalach lecharef Elohim chai. And hear all the words of Sancheriv which he sent to mock the living God. What Chizkiyahu demands that God hear is not so much the pleas of the poor and dispossessed Israelites, but rather the mockery of God. That is what God needs to hear, and that is the reason that God needs to save Yerushalayim, according to Chizkiyahu's tefillah. Pasuk Yudchet, Chizkiyahu admits the empirical truth of what Sancheriv is claiming. Yes, it is true, cities have been destroyed by the Assyrians, and the city's gods have also been desecrated by the Assyrians. Omnam Hashem hecherivu malchei Ashur et kol haaretzot ve'et artzam. Indeed, God, the kings of Assyria, have destroyed all of the lands. Ve'et artzam, this is a difficult phrase. The kings of Assyria have destroyed all the lands and their land. Or have destroyed perhaps all the peoples and their lands, is the way we should understand this. Pasuk Yutet v'natonet Elohim ba'esh. And the kings of Assyria have also burnt all the gods of other nations. Why? Ki lo Elohim hema, ki ima se yedei adam etz va'even va'yabdu. Rather, these idols are considered to be the work of human sculptors. They are not; they do not have any independent power, and therefore these idols were destroyed by the Assyrians because they had no independent power. In Pasuk Kaf, the king prays the pith of his prayer, Ve'ata, and now indeed, Hashem Elokeinu, Hoshi'enu mi'ado, God save us from his hand, and what will happen if you save the Jews from the hand of Sancheriv, v'yedu kol mamlechot ha'aretz ki ata Hashem levadecha. All the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone are God. In other words, your mastery over the universe will be established by means of your victory over Sancheriv. And the converse may also be true, and this is terrifying, that God's powerlessness would be widely recognized were Sancheriv to conquer Yerushalayim. If Sancheriv fails to conquer Yerushalayim, then God's power will be recognized. That is the key idea of this chapter, that God's power would be recognized were he to defeat Sancheriv. And at the point where Chizkiyahu davens, we would expect that the parak would now close. But rather than the parak closing, we hear here a taunt from Yeshayahu. The prophet who refused to pray is quite willing to offer a taunt and a song of victory. The taunt and song of victory interrupt the narrative in order to highlight and emphasize several of the important themes in this narrative. Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Vayishlach Yeshayahu ben Amoz el Chizkiyahu lemor. Yeshayahu ben Amoz sent to Chizkiyahu saying, Thus says God, the God of Israel, Asher hitpalalta elai al Sancheriv melech Ashur, regarding that which you prayed about Sancheriv, the king of Assyria. And the first several psukim of Yeshayahu's tefillah are a taunt of the king of Assyria. Zeh hadavar asher diber Hashem alav, Bazalecha la'agal lecha betulat bat Zion. Acharecha rosh henia betulat yush bat betul. Acharecha rosh henia bat Yerushalayim. This is what God speaks about Sancheriv. The virgin daughter of Zion has laughed at you, and after you, Yerushalayim is shaking her head. In other words, the city of Yerushalayim is mocking Sancheriv, who claimed that he could conquer it. Et mi chera, pasuk kaf gimel 23. Et mi cherafta vegidafta val mi harimot akol. Whom did you actually mock? Against whom did you lift up your voice? Vatisamerom einecha el kadosh Yisrael. You raised up your eyes haughtily against the Holy One of Israel. In other words, you raised up your eyes haughtily, not against Yerushalayim, but against God, the Holy One of Israel. And what did you do? Pasuk kaf dalet biyad avadecha cherafta Hashem. You sent messengers to mock God. And how did you mock God? The rest of pasuk kaf dalet illustrates how Yeshayahu thinks that Sancheriv mocks God. It's a very interesting pasuk. Vatomer berov richbi ani aliti merom harim yarketei Lebanon ve'echrot komat arazav mivchar beroshav ve'avo merom kitzo yar karmilo. You said, with the multitude of my chariots, I went up to the tallest places of mountains, the highest mountains, to the ends of Lebanon. I cut down the tall cedars, the choicest cypress trees. I came to the highest points, to the fruitful forest. This is not a mockery of God. This may be a declaration of Assyria's strength, but it is clearly not a mockery of God. God is not mentioned here. And the reason for this seems to be that Yeshayahu sees in the Assyrian king's claim, to be the highest and most powerful force in the universe, in and of that itself, that claim, when the Assyrian god king claims to be the highest power in the universe, that itself is a mockery of God, even though he doesn't mention God's name. Because for someone else to claim to be the highest power in the universe is a mockery of God. Continuing with this theme, Pasuk Kafe, Ani karti v'shatiti mayim. I have dug and drunk waters. Va'achriv b'chaf pa'amai kol yorei matzor. And I dried up with my soles, soles, all the canals and Niles of Egypt. Sancheriv here claims to be able to dry up the canals of Egypt, something Sancheriv actually claims, although not in relation to Egypt. He claims that with his multitude of soldiers, he's able to pass them across the rivers as though it were dry land. And so Yeshayahu was saying, you claim to be able to dry up rivers. Don't you know who it is who dried up the water courses of Egypt? Pasuk Kavav, Halo Shamata Lemerachok Ota Asiti, Mime Kedem Vitzartia. Don't you know? I did this long ago, many years ago, I created it. Atahavetia, now I have brought it to pass. Utehila hashot galim nitzim arim betzurot. I have brought it to make desolate heaps of ruins, fortified cities. The interesting idea here is that on the one hand, what is it that God has declared from a long time ago would happen? Is it the events in Egypt, or is it, as Pasuk Kavav implies, the destruction of the king of Assyria? So Pasuk Kafhei refers back to the drying up of the watercourses. The beginning of Pasuk Kavav says, don't you know I created it long ago? And the end of Pasuk Kavav has this idea that Sancheriv's battles were foreseen by God. What did God foresee? Did he foresee the drying up of the Red Sea, or did he foresee Sancheriv's battles? The answer, I believe, is both. The beginning of Pasuk Kavav has to be read as referring both to the end of Pasuk Kavav and to the Pasuk immediately before it. So God is saying to Sancheriv, don't you know I created it, that it is both the drying up of the watercourses in Egypt, which God clearly did, as well as the mandating of Sancheriv to destroy certain areas in Yehuda, which God also allows Sancheriv to do, and God calls the shots on this like on all else. I skip down now through the rest of the Navi's speech to note in Pasuk Kaftet, the first of the prophetic images in the speech,
which give the sense of what God is demanding from Sancheriv. Yan hitragezcha elai v'sha'anancha alav v'oznai, because you have angered, you have raged against me, and your complacency has come up to my ears. In other words, you paid attention to your complacency. V'samti chachi be'apecha umitki b'sfatecha v'ashivoticha baderech asher bata ba. I will place my hook in your nose and my chain in your lip, or my ring in your lip, and I will drag you back on the road from which you came. In other words, Sancheriv is here being portrayed as almost as a bull whom God collars, God corners, and drags back to Assyria. God is exercising mastery over Sancheriv. It is God here who appears as master, not Sancheriv. Pasuk Lamed v'zelecha ha'ot. This is a sign for you. This is a sign that will prove to you that what I am saying is true. You, the Jews, achol hashana safiach, this year you should eat the aftergrowth, uvashana shenit shachis, uvashana shlishit, ziru v'kitzru v'nitu charamim v'ichlu firyam. In the first year you should eat the aftergrowth, in the second year you should eat the aftergrowth, in the third year, plant, harvest, plant vineyards, harvest their fruit. The idea that each of the years the situation will improve and improve, till in the third year it's possible to plant and harvest normally. V'yasfa peletat beit Yehudah nishava shorish lemata v'asafri lemala. Pasuk lamed aleph. The remainder of the house of Judah who is left will strike a root from below and make a fruit above. That idea of root is the previous and current generations, whereas the fruit is the coming generations. And so Yehuda will be well planted in the land. It will have shorish lamata. The current generation will be stable, and so too will the future generations be stable. In other words, the destruction of Yehuda will not happen yet. And here in Pasuk Lamed Bet, we have a very interesting pasuk. Kim Yerushalayim teitzei she'erit ufleita mehar tzion. A remnant will come forth from Yerushalayim. A refugees from Har Tzion. Kinat Hashem Tzvakot ta'aseh zot. It is God's jealousy and anger which will create this. Pasuk Lamed Bet is an assurance. Pasuk Lamed Gimel Lamed Dal. Pasukim 33 and 34 are assurances that the king of Assyria will not conquer the city of Yerushalayim. And I turn now to Pasuk Lamed Hey, Pasuk 35, which illustrates the reasons for which God defends the city of Yerushalayim. V'ganoti al ha'ir hazot lehoshia lema'ani ulema'an David avdi. I will protect this city, God says, for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. I will protect this city to save it for my sake and the sake of my servant David. In other words, Yerushalayim is not being saved because of the goodness of the people in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is being saved because God chooses to do so for his own sake and for the sake of his servant David. This pasuk, by the way, is a famous one. It is inscribed, if one is in Yerushalayim, on the Davidka, on that gun that was used in the War of Independence to defend the city of the Jewish city of Yerushalayim. The words "V'ganoti al ha'ir hazot lehoshia" from this pasuk, "I will protect this city, saving it," are inscribed on the monument to the Davidka on Rehov Yafo, between the Shuk and the center of the city, Jerusalem. Pasuk Lamed Vav, 36. We now begin the denouement, the end of the story. Till the previous few pasukim from Kaf Bet until Lamed Hey have been the prophet's taunt of Sancheriv, and now we come to the end of the story, to what actually happens to Sancheriv. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayetze malach Hashem, vayakeh b'machane Ashur 185 el aleph, vayashkimu v'boker, v'hinei chulam pegarim metim. The angel of the Lord went out and struck in the camp of Assyria 185,000. They woke up in the morning and they were all dead. The Assyrians are devastated by a plague from God. The Assyrians, as a result, leave. God has defeated the Assyrians, and it is that plague that is the vehicle through which God announces his sovereignty to the world by defeating the mightiest force that is yet known to man, the Assyrian king.
Vayisa vayelech vayashov bin Sancheriv melech Ashur vayeshev bin Nineveh. He returned, the king, Sancheriv, king of Assyria, returned and dwelled in Nineveh. This seems to refer to his moving palaces, which is actually something that Sancheriv did. He moved away from Sargon's palaces and established a new palace without a rival, as he calls it, in the city of Nineveh. What then happens to Sancheriv? An event which happens later in Sancheriv's reign, sometime in the 680s BCE, in other words, more than 12 years after the events described in this chapter, Pasuk Lamedchet telescopes an event from about 15 or 20 years later back into this chapter in order to close the theological message. Could Sancheriv dwell happily and alone in his palace while the one whom he has whom he claimed to taunt, in other words, the God of Israel, reigns in Yerushalayim, and Sancheriv just leaves things alone? No, there is a final embarrassment and shame of Sancheriv, which we find in Pasuk Lamed Chet 38. Vayhi hu mishtachave beit nisroch Elohav, va'adramelech v'sar etzer banav hikuhu v'cherev. It was when he was bowing down in the house of Nisroch his God, we know nothing about the God Nisroch, Adramelech and Sar Etzer, two names whom we don't know from anywhere else, Adramelech and Sar Etzer, his sons, came and smote him by the sword. In other words, they killed him while Sancheriv was praying, and they, the sons, killed him, ran away to the land of Ararat, the land of today Armenia, north of Mesopotamia. Vaimloch Esarchedon beno tachtav. Another of his sons, King Esarchedon, ascended the throne as a result of his two sons, Adramelech and Sar Etzer, having killed the king of Assyria. So to recap, the chapter begins with Chizkiyahu tearing his clothes and demanding that Yeshayahu pray. Yeshayahu reassures Chizkiyahu but does not actually pray. Then Sancheriv sends a very strange siege message, which we read about in Psukim 10 to 13. The siege message does not mention any of the standard political themes, but only the idea that the king of Assyria has defeated all the gods of the world. It is at that point that Chizkiyahu actually prays without asking Yeshayahu to pray. Chizkiyahu prays himself. He makes the famous statement, God save us, Pasuk 20, God save us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone are God, and only you. Yeshayahu then issues a long taunt against Sancheriv, and Sancheriv is effectively defeated by an angel of God who smites thousands and thousands of his men, and Sancheriv suffers the ignominious ultimate defeat of being murdered by his own sons.